It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN, 440 in the afternoon. Matt Bubala and Judy Pilak sitting in. Kevin Powell's down here in the studio with us because sponsored by Chicago's own Nuveen. Blackhawk analyst here on WGN Radio, Troy Murray joins us on the phone. Hey, Troy, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
We're good. Are you recovering from playing and broadcasting outside in the bad weather in Busch Stadium all weekend?
I'm 53 and I'm feeling it.
It was
a wonderful experience all weekend. Got to thank the city of St. Louis and the Blues alumni for what they did for our alumni playing the game on Saturday. It was just a tremendous weekend. The venue, Busch Stadium, was fantastic. I know that the outcome on Monday afternoon wasn't quite what everybody was hoping for, but at the same time, it was a real nice showcase for the NHL. Great opportunity for everybody to see a little bit more of the city of St. Louis and what they're all about.
Troy, this is Judy sitting in for Anna. But I'm on every day. I'm sure you know that.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
Good. How are you? How was that alumni game? How'd you stack up to everyone?
It was so much fun. And you know what? It's such a great opportunity to catch up with guys that you played against. Some of the guys that were on St. Louis I played with on different teams. It's just a great, you know, showcase for the generations of the game of hockey. To have a guy like Wayne Gretzky out there on the ice, you know, some of the big names from the Blues in the past, Al MacInnis, Chris Pronger, going back even before that, you wouldn't remember some guys' names, one of the goaltenders that played, Ed Staniowski, that's a generation ahead of me. To hear all the stories, the camaraderie all weekend between the Blackhawks alumni and the Blues alumni is something that is so special and hard really to describe what it means to a former player when you get back with the guys that you really hated and you went tooth and nail for so many years and a great rivalry. But they're all good people, and you love to hear their stories, their perspective of the rivalries and the games that we played against one another, the memories that we had playing back in the 80s and the 90s.
Speaking of that, Troy, I heard you had some words with Gretzky.
Yeah, that was really cool, Judy. Real quickly, the story was years ago, there was a guy who played for the Blackhawks. His name was Billy Gardner, and Billy played with Gretzky way back in the day up in Ontario. And I remember Billy Gardner, during one hockey game, asked Wayne Gretzky for his stick. And at the end of the game, Billy had Gretzky's stick in his hand. And I was going, where'd you get that? And he goes, oh, I just asked him for it, and he gave it to me. So we were sitting between the benches, and Darren Pang was in the middle of the benches, too. The TV camera was there, and one of the TV hosts, Darren Millard, was there. And I go, hey, Gretzky. I said, one of the things that I never did when I was playing against you was ask you for your stick during a game. And he turns around and he goes, well, you might as well have, because you were always holding it. And we just started laughing, and Darren Pang was laughing, the TV guys, and it was actually all caught on tape. And if you go to the Blackhawks website, there's a little clip there, because I was mic'd up during the game, and you kind of catch that little back-and-forth conversation. And at the end of it, Wayne Gretzky and I were talking to each other after the game. And he said, you know, did you get the stick? And I said, yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, for me, that's just a real honor. And he says, you know what, have somebody bring it over and I'll sign it for you. So after the game, nice. He signed it for me, to Troy, best wishes, Wayne Gretzky. And you know, the rumor is that Wayne Gretzky is not going to play another alumni game. His wife, Janet, is from the St. Louis area. So that was kind of part of the whole thing and him coming back and being one of the bigger names. So I'm just going to have in my mind that I have the last stick that Wayne Gretzky ever used in a game of hockey.
Love it. Troy, the Blackhawks are now 1-4 in outdoor games. Are there certain teams that are built differently that maybe gives them an advantage in outdoor games, or has the 1-4 record just sort of been a random thing for the Hawks facing some quality teams over the past 5 or 6 years or so?
I just think it's random. You know, the elements are what it is. You know, everybody said, well, Chicago's going to have an advantage yesterday against the Blues because it was the first outdoor game that the Blues have played. I don't know why they haven't had the better results into it. You know, they're disappointed, obviously, how they've performed in the outdoor games, because that's a huge showcase game for the players on the ice and the NHL itself. But I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. Yesterday, they were right into it till late in the third period there. They made a couple mistakes. St. Louis Had some good players, and those good players were on the ice at their right time, and for the Blackhawks, the wrong time. And Tarasenko, one of their top scorers and one of the best players in the league, was able to separate themselves from the Blackhawks, scoring two quick goals.
Troy, jumping back to the alumni game just for a second, because I have to ask you, you know, you said you were 53, you skated your whole life, but you probably don't get that much of a chance to skate anymore with work and everything. What's it like being out there? And I know it's a fun game, but I imagine the competitive juices get flowing too. Do you get out there and just love it? Or are you like, man, I can't believe how old I am?
Oh, well, the I can't believe I'm old, how old I am comes after the game. During the game, it is really funny, though, because everybody's having so much fun, especially at the beginning of the game. Everybody's laughing and smiling. But at the tail end of the game, you know, our alumni, the Blackhawks alumni, were down by a couple, and, you know, we really wanted to come back and tie the game up. We scored one with, 3 minutes to go, and you could feel the last 10 minutes of the third period, the intensity level really started to pick up, and you get those competitive juices flowing, but nobody ever crossed the line in that game. It was a lot of fun, and we said at the beginning, it says, you know, we should lose this game by one, because everybody goes home happy. The home team alumni wins, and the fans at Busch Stadium, which was packed, everybody goes home happy, and it was a good showcase for us old guys getting back on the ice.
Well, you know, one of the games on Saturday, there was a, was it the Maple Leafs in Toronto or Toronto and the Red
Sunday.
Wings
on Sunday.
There was almost a tussle in that alumni game between two guys.
Yeah, no. You're right. On the game, the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs alumni played on Saturday.
Yeah.
Same time. And Chris Draper and Gary Roberts almost got into it. It was a hack and whack fest there with the stick slashing and everything. So, you don't want to see that. I don't know what kind of built up to that whole situation. I saw the tail end of it, the highlights of it, but, you know, we didn't have anything close to that. And I don't think that's what it's all about. To me, there's too much respect in the game, and an alumni game especially. I think that, you should really kind of cherish that opportunity and not take it as serious as maybe those guys did.
Hey, Troy, I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you yet since Artemi Panarin signed that 2-year contract extension. One, how important was it to lock him up? And two, per usual, I think we talk about this every offseason with the Hawks, that's going to create some salary cap issues. How much of a domino effect will that have on the rest of the roster?
Well, something's got to give. That's the obvious part of the equation. For them to lock up Panarin in basically a 2-year bridge deal is really good, and I got to give everybody credit. Panarin, his agent, I think his name is Tom Lynn, and Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks to make this deal work out and not let it drag any further than what it is. That being said, you certainly love him having him in the fold, and they were going to do whatever they needed to do to keep him around. You've got to make some decisions, and I don't know where those decisions are going to be made this summer. It might depend on what happens going into the postseason, how players play in the playoffs. You know, it's just tough. But the one thing that Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks have been able to do is basically make this work and really, in a lot of ways, keep a lot of those core group of guys around. I don't know where this fits in as far as, does this eliminate one of the core group of guys as far as being expendable? I think in a lot of ways it'll be decided by what happens in the postseason. If it's another early round exit, maybe a time to change some of the core group. I don't want to be in Stan Bowman's shoes to make those decisions, and it's going to be a tough one, whatever it is.
Well, that's the problem for this summer, but before then, we got the second half of the season really gearing up now. And Troy, the Hawks have had a decent amount of injuries this year. They've gotten over. Corey Crawford's back in goal now, and they're still doing really well. How do things shape up as we head towards the playoffs?
Well, I think, you know, they've lost 5 of their last 6. And if you kind of reflect back and how this first half of the season has gone, the Blackhawks and especially the core group of guys were finding ways to win hockey games when their goaltender was giving them a chance to stay in it. And I think that the consistency that they've had is in the nets with Corey Crawford and Scott Darling. They've been great all season long. The Blackhawks have to continue this process of getting these younger players involved into it. It's a lot of work for the core group of guys each and every night to be counted on as heavily as they are. It's going to be a fight, you know, to the finish. I don't see any team really in the NHL. There's a couple teams that are hot right now, Columbus and Minnesota in particular, but I don't see any other team really completely separating themselves from another team. So Chicago is right in the mix of the Stanley Cup talk. who's going to be there, who's going to win it. It's going to be an interesting stretch run here the second half of the season. You're going to have to get good production out of the core group of guys. Panarin's had a tremendous season. Patrick Kane's kind of just chugging along. Jonathan Toews, last few games, is starting to get some offensive rhythm. You get Marian Hossa possibly back in against Buffalo on Thursday night. And then you get some of the depth and the experience that they had through basically, you know, throughout these last several years back into the lineup, and I think they'll be fine.
Well, as you mentioned, you guys got Buffalo on Thursday night. Troy, that gives you two more days to keep icing down. I think by Thursday you're going to be just fine to make it to the broadcast booth.
I did a lot of icing from the inside last week.
Good deal. Troy Murray with John Weideman here on 720 WGN. Thanks so much for being on the phone, Troy.
Matt, Judy, and Kevin, thanks for having me on. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Troy.
Troy Murray, you hear him with John Weideman here on Blackhawk Broadcast.
It's a veteran move, by the way, icing from the inside.
Icing from the inside. That was sponsored by Chicago's own Nuveen.